No one so great or mighty that he can avoid the misery that will rise against him when he resists and strives against God. Okay? You can take a picture of the screen, you know, if you want to remember this. What does rebellion mean? Rebellion means refusal to come under the authority of someone who is above you. Now, I last week go and listen to what I elaborated on those. In the biblical term, the word rebellion refers to men rebelling against God, coming against God, resisting God. You know, you see people resisting Jesus. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. We don't want that. What is the opposite of rebellion in the Bible? The opposite of rebellion is obedience, walking in the will of God. Next slide. So that's what we want. We want to walk in obedience. You know, when we read the Bible, we want to live by it. We want to apply it in our lives. Okay? So, and then we had God hates rebellion because rebellion is like witchcraft. Witchcraft is magic, voodoo. You know, you don't want to do that. And then I also talking about witchcraft. Be aware of the spirit of Halloween. That's witchcraft. You know, don't get into it. Be aware of the spirit of worshiping the dead, you know. Rebellion leads to a hard heart. You don't want to be hard. You don't want your heart to be hard. You know, that's why you want to repent of it. And then I think those with a rebellious spirit says God doesn't care. You know, that's not true. God does care. And then I think I stop. That's where I stop. But today I just want to go over, let's open our Bibles in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. Hebrews 3, verse 8. I mean, I was studying this subject this week. I encourage you, keep doing some Bible studies. We're going to talk to our cell leaders in the coming weeks to, because it's just something that's just so strong in my heart about us being living a life of surrender to the Lord. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3, verse, thank you, Ange, you're awesome. Verse 8 says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. When they tested me in the wilderness, there your ancestors tested and tried my presence. We don't want to do that. They tested my patience. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them. Wow, God can get angry? Yeah, God can get angry. You know, it's like we have this mindset that God is graceful. But you know what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have grace judgment. God, remember, God's not judging anybody right now. It's God's love that's leading our hearts to repentance. It's not his judgment. It's his love. You know, because judgment will come. But when you read in the Old Testament, you guys remember the journey from Egypt to the promised land was, what is it, between 11 and 14 days. But because of their stubbornness and rebellion, they spent 40 years in the desert. And only two from the many million thousands of people that left Egypt, only two of them made it to the promised land. Even Moses, I mean, we're going to talk about some rebellious, example of rebellion in the Bible. Even Moses. Because Moses was so frustrated. I prayed this for my life. I said, God, please do not let me be people focused. Because when you, from my position, when I'm people-focused, I become angry. I can get angry. I can control my anger, but then anger will make me hard. Uh-huh. When you're angry at someone, you become hard. You close, you shut the door, you know? So God told Moses to speak with the rock for water, but Moses wanted to hit the people. He hit the rock. Disobeyed. You know, it's like, thank God for Jesus. But God does not tolerate rebellion. I pray this all the time for my life, and this is my prayer for us, that we would have a spirit to obey, to surrender to him. Verse 10, it says, So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. So, and long story short, you all know what happened. They didn't make it. So they all died in the wilderness. It wasn't God's will for them. But because of God, because God saw their stubbornness, once again, just, man, can you imagine a trip for 14 days at the max? Lots of looping. I don't know. God is sovereign. He's all powerful. I'm sure he changed the scenery. Because you would think a group of them would be like, man, yeah, I've been here before. Right? I've seen this river before. I remember this road. No. Same road, same path. But somehow, maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask the Lord, how did you do it, God? Nobody noticed that they were going in circles. So verse 12, there's a warning. What's that warning? Help me out. Wow. When somebody says, be careful, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Two things here. And there's a great warning here. And talking about the apostasy, that's the era we live in, where people are renouncing their faith. People who's been walking with the Lord for years. I mean, eminent Christians, you know, people that has lots of influence on other people, they're coming out saying, it's because they're hurt. You know, it's because there's so much, I've been there. You know, I've been there. It's like sometimes you feel like you just want to throw the towel because you're like, I used to love people, but people has ruined it for me. But we can't go there. Why? Because it should never be between me and you. It should be between me and God. So as I continue to serve people, it should always be between me and God, not between me and them. Because if it's between me and you, when you don't respond to the way you should, I'm going to get hurt and get hard. I can't do that. I've been there. I mean, I'm just telling you where I'm at. That's my choice. But I wish some of the things I know now, I wish I knew it when I was a little younger. Especially in Haiti. You know? We're talking about Mission Month. Maybe we'll share some things. Especially in Haiti. I wish there's certain things I know now. Certain ways, you know, people will always take, 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 take. As much as you're giving them, people will take and leave you dry. You know, that's why the first responsibility, especially for you, those of you who are or maybe will be in ministry, my first responsibility is to be a husband to my wife, not to be a pastor. And my first responsibility is to be a father to my children, not their pastor. You know? But when I become their pastor, that's when hurt can come. And you know what? My first goal is to be your friend, not your pastor. I'm trying to be like Christ. Jesus says, man, guys, I'm not just your pastor. You're my friend. Jesus told the disciples. He says, I'm not calling you followers. You're my friend. I mean, there's nothing like when friend is connected, there's a heart-to-heart connection, right? Because when you're my friend, I don't have to protect my pocket. Because I know you, right? You know those people, they don't want to be your friend. They're after your hands. They're after your pocket. They're after your wallet. They're after your gifts, your ability, what you can offer. And they'll take, 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 take. They'll take as much until you dry. They'll run you dry. Are you with me? Yes. Hebrews chapter 3 So be careful, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts, you know, and this is a great, right now, this is a great time to just go in your heart. Make sure that your heart has no evil in it. And unbelieving. You know, because sometimes, depending on how we deal with people, we stop believing in people. Oh, you stop believing in the good of people. Oh, yeah. You just stop believing that there is any good in people. Because just people just is ruined it. But we can't go there. There are good people. Amen? There are good people. You know, it's like there are some plumbers out there. They ruined it for plumbers. But thank God, I can give a different experience everywhere I go as a plumber. There used to be a time I tell people, don't call me pastor. Probably the first four years. I don't know if Kendra would know. But I used to tell people, do not call me pastor because I did not want to identify with a pastor. Yeah. It's just so bad. It's like, you know, you hear pastors doing this, pastor lack of character, you know, they're divorcing their wives, you know, their family is a disaster, you know, they're cheating the church's money, they're misusing the funds, whatever. I mean, you know, they're crazy stuff. And you don't hear about the good quality servant of God because there are good pastors out there. And I am one of them. Praise God. I say that with humility because we have nothing. I have nothing unless the Lord gives it to me. You see, now, the Lord has to teach me that. God has to teach me that. John chapter 3, verse 23. That's when God's like, man, that's not good. That's not the right attitude. Because when people encounter me, they will encounter something different. Why? Because I keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be a famous pastor. Nobody can be saved in the name of Ricardo. No. Our church, no. Restoration Church, no. We have nothing without Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that's the focus. You know, so I've been there where the heart has just become so hard and bitter towards people. After a couple of years, I mean, especially when you serving or you helping, you loving with no interior motives, and you see how people just take advantage, misuse you, judge you, you know, it's painful. Unbelieving. So you get to a place where I'm talking about you stop believing in the goodness of humanity. But thank God, because all of you here is an agent. Is an ambassador. Hallelujah. Each one of you here is a kingdom-minded Christian. When people encounter you, they can testify, you know what? There are good Christians still. Because if we, as followers of Jesus, if we're living the gospel in obedience to the word of God, we will represent God. We will well represent God. When people see us, they will see, that's right. That's the way it should, be. I'm not talking about the way you dress, of course, from the abundance of the heart, everything else will flow. How you speak, how you walk, how you dress, how you treat people, how you run your business, you know? Even when people hurt you. Once again, verse 12. We're not running with it. Verse 12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil. You see, I cannot do that for you. You have to make sure. I encourage you, be honest with the Lord. Be honest. Be honest with Jesus. I love this prayer we pray earlier. When I cannot stand, I fall on you. When I cannot stand, I fall on you. Have you ever felt you are in a season where you can't stand? You can't stand anymore? And you can't hold anymore? Fall on him. That's faith. Fall on him. When I can't do it, I trust in you. You know? And then what do? You do the opposite. You do the thing, what the Bible says in Romans. It's like, we do have a debt, but I don't owe my flesh. So I don't live by what I sense. I live by faith. Because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. So therefore, those who come to God must know, first of all, He exists. Oh, I know. Do we know God exists? Amen. And not only that, He reward those who earnestly seek Him. So when you take time, I tell you, take time. When you set time, you know, if home is too distracted, call me. We'll open here for you. My brother Jerry, he lives 2 minutes from here. He's my man. I'll call him. I was like, Jerry, come on, man. Gary, can you let so-and-so in? Come and lay before the Lord. If you don't, you know, get away from distraction. Get in your car. Drive to Pongo. You know, because sometimes you can have very intimate time in your car. Turn the radio off. Just you and the Lord. But don't go on Virginia Beach Boulevard. You know, it might wound it for you. Go to Pongo. Drive to North Carolina. Take a 30-minute drive. You and the Lord. Say, God, you know, it's when I cannot stand, I fall on you. And right now, I cannot stand. I feel like I can't move forward. So, Lord, I am falling on you. It says, turn your way from living. Turning you away from the living God. Verse 13. You must warn each other every day. So once again, that's a verse, you go and take it in your closet, in your prayer closet. Let the Holy Spirit continue to teach you from these verses. You must warn each other every day while it's still today. And then, of course, I'm not going to get there, but when you keep reading the chapter 4, you understand that God has set a day, a new day, for people to enter His rest. What is rest? Cease striving. I mean, and I tell you, that's one thing we still have to learn how to do. Rest. You know, because sometimes I think resting in front of a TV, maybe you fall asleep, you know, if I'm watching my special show, the world's longest road to travel. This guy's got a soothing voice that put me to sleep, you know. Or if you have a Bible app, you know, it puts you to sleep. But there's nothing like disconnected. Nothing like disconnected from social media, disconnected from people, you know, just you and the Word, or in the quietness of your home. Some of us, you guys heard my story, my testimony. I used to hate that. I couldn't do it because the silence would haunt me. I didn't like it. So I felt like I had to fill the void. Living by myself in the house was crazy. I needed people. When sometimes God needs you by Himself, you know? And see, it happens in the life of Jesus Christ. It happens in the life of Moses, a lot of the prophets. God would call him to the mountaintop by Himself, usually for 40 nights and 40 days. Whew. What would you do by yourself for 40 nights and 40 days, sometimes without eating? Oh, today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and harden against God. Verse 14. For if we are faithful to the end, I was teaching that a couple weeks ago. Some people says once saved, always saved. But you know, once saved, it's not biblical. Because if you don't remain in the teaching of God, you're forfeiting your salvation. As a matter of fact, the Bible says to work your salvation with fear and what? Trembling. The fear of the Lord. So if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Wow. Underline this verse. Remember this verse in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. You must remain faithful in the teaching of God. You have to remain in the teaching of God. So today, when you hear once again the voice of the Lord, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God? Even though they heard his voice, wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? You see, when I read all these questions, I realize, you see, now God is not making an oath under the new covenant. He's not making an oath saying people will never enter heaven or eternal life. He's giving us a choice. God is giving me and you a choice saying, today I set before you life or death. If you obey, you will live. But if you rebel, if you resist, if you throw away my commandments, this is what's going to happen to you. That's why you don't hear people talk about hell, because you don't want to scare people in church. I tell you, if you don't repent from your sin, if you don't dwell, if you don't abide in the teaching of God, your destination is in hell. But if you remain in the teaching of God, you know that your destination is in the bosom of Father. You know where you're going. You know, I'm not afraid of dying because I have a relationship with Jesus. Now, we're not talking about perfection here, okay? None of us. Until we're on this side of heaven, you can't be perfect. When the enemy comes in your mind telling you, you got to be perfect, say, get away from me, Satan. Because there's no way anybody here can be perfect. That's why Jesus, what we prayed, it earlier, right? We are justified by the blood. I mean, even when I look my past, I told you guys, even in my relationship with my wife, it's like, I wish I knew that when she was pregnant, I wouldn't be such a selfish dude. Better not say it. Seriously. There is a time in my life I'm like, yeah, I know, we kind of getting old. We don't want to, maybe when we're in our 30s, like maybe we don't want a baby anymore. But we wanted to kind of have three, you know. I'm like, man, I wish you could be pregnant again so I can kind of be better. Because when she was pregnant, I was such a selfish dude. I mean, I did help, but it wasn't what it was supposed to be. Can I go back and fix those? No. Can the enemy just guilt trip me all the time there? Yes. But I'm not allowing him. Because that person, when we first got married, that Ricardo is dead. He's dead. He's dead. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that can set you free. You know, what is your story? What is your testimony? You know, and the thing is, sometimes people who used to know you back in the days, they haven't experienced what God is doing with you. They might see you as the same old person. But until they can encounter what the Lord is doing in you, you have nothing to prove. Just keep being the new man you are. Amen? So when I think about all these questions, I thank God for his grace. Because his grace is leading our hearts to repentance. There is an invitation to everyone saying, you can enter my rest. Stop resisting. Just start obeying. To which I say, yes, Lord. I say, yes, Lord. The Lord was he reminded me again of something he told me back in this November last year. I came when I went to do my sabbatical. And yesterday it just was so right there in my mind. You cannot kill a dead person. When someone's dead, it doesn't matter what you do with it. It's up to you. And you better quick do something with it. So when you die, when you're dead in Christ, when it's not you that's living anymore, there's nothing like it. Because dying on the cross is to experience the resurrection of Christ. And when you see the resurrection of Christ, what do you see? Joy. It says it in Romans. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and what? And joy. And joy. It's not grumpiness. It's joy of the Lord. It's joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy in every season. Righteousness, peace. Don't we need peace right now? Yes. In the middle of your storm, may you hear the voice of the Lord says, hey, Pela. Pela, that's, be quiet. I like that in Creole. Pela. Jesus told the storm, Pela. How do you say be quiet in Spanish? Callate. Callate. Silencio. That's right. Yes, silos. Pela. You know? Toso. In your language. That's right. That's what you say. Toso in Africa. Toso. Pela garante, be quiet. Same thing. Come on, how do you say that in Dutch? All right. Dave forgot his Dutch. I love languages. Oh man. Let's quick finish with. I'm just gonna enumerate some of them. For example, rebellion in the Bible. Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 2. You don't need to go there. You all know what happened. God says, do not eat. Do not touch. But what did the devil do? What? The first dude that rebelled against God was Lucifer and himself. The master, the chief band, the choir, chief choir director of heaven. It's like, he comes, he's like, man, I want to be like God. He rebelled against God. And then, of course, you know what happened in Genesis, God created heaven and earth. And then some people say, well, why would God put in the garden a tree that would cause Adam and Eve to fall? Now, remember, we are the only being God created into his image. God created the angels to worship him. The angels, they, you know, some of them Satan perverted when you study Revelation. But we were created with will. That's why when you choose, I have decided, when you have decided to follow Jesus, there's nothing like it. When you've made up your mind, I have made up my mind. That's when your salvation is sealed. No matter what, I have made up my mind. I'm going to remain faithful to my wife till the end. I made up my mind, death will set us apart. You see, I'm not wondering in my mind, you know, I wonder if it would be like to have a little girlfriend. That's my girlfriend right here. I wonder what would it be like to start dating again. Well, we go on a date this week, baby. You see what I'm saying? Because when you open your mind to the spirit of perversion, you're not sure where you stand. That's when you start, you know, being on shaky ground. There's nothing like when you made up your mind to do right, to live for God, to live for justice. And of course, the other story we have is the rebellion of Ham. You guys go in and read that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 27. You know? And then, of course, you've got the story of Noah. I tell you, the consequence of rebellion is a curse. When you rebel, it's a curse. You are people who rebel against God. They're cursed. Even people who rebel against authority. I said last week, if you're working for somebody, if you had a job and your boss, you don't like your boss, do not resist him. Just go find another job. Okay? And then, I mean, tons of story. I mean, it's like, I'm going to share this with our home groups and we're going to have discussion on those. Nadab and Abiram, that's another story in the Bible, in Leviticus chapter 8. I mean, it's a great story. About how they come against authority, how they come against the word of God. And then you have Aaron and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam, I think Miriam was Moses' sister. And they started talking about Moses because Moses had a foreign wife. And God's like, man, you can't do that. You see, what happened when some of us in a church or in a congregation are resisting God, we are stuck. That's why I'm talking about this. The more all of us live in obedience, the easier God will move with us. If some of us are resisting God, some of us are obeying, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get stuck. You go and read in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 and 5, the story of Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, how, first of all, God punished Miriam with leprosy because and David actually give us a good example in Samuel. Was Saul, King Saul, was it? I mean, you know, you guys know what he did. 1 Samuel 15, 16, 17, you know, he rebelled against God. He disobeyed God. God rejected him. So he was possessed, kind of being influenced by an evil spirit. And, you know, the long story, David killed Goliath, long story short. What did David do to Saul, King Saul, for him to hate him so much? Nothing. So for years he wanted to kill David. But then one day David and his men found Saul sleeping, and David's army, his general, was like, man, you see, you're a man of God. There it is. God delivered him into your hands. Thank God for David. David had a holy fear. David's like, he's an anointed from God. It's not my position to judge. I'm not going to touch him. You know, sometimes even people in authority, and I'm going to say this because there's a lot of backslash against leaders, pastors, people who fell the office. Please pray for them. Pray for them. Don't share that news on Facebook. Did you hear so and so? Did you hear such news? Oh man, terrible. Please get away from that. Because God will judge them. Hopefully they repent. But God will make them pay for what they're doing or they've done. But as for us, we do not resist. We do not bring judgment. And then there's another story of Dathan and Korah and Abiram in Numbers chapter 16. When these guys rebel against God. Man, it's like, it's so good. So in conclusion, my encouragement to all of us here, my challenge to all of us here as a congregation, give God room. Obey him. Live in obedience. Let's live in obedience. See, when you obey God, you're blessed. See, now God's not asking us to do things to punish us. No. Let me finish with this, Isaiah 1:19. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing, is the condition, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is a hope right there. The Lord says, come on, let's have a conversation. Even though your sins are red as scarlet, they shall be as white. So there's a promise when you acknowledge. That's the gospel. This is what I stand on. I'm not going to stand on the fact that, oh man, I blew it. I screwed up. No, man, my father is saying, even though Ricardo, you messed up, but man, your sin, your mistakes going to be as white as snow. Though they are like, they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The condition in verse 19. What's the condition? If you are willing to obey and obedient, to which I stopped right there. I said, Lord, I'm willing. I will obey. Anybody else want to pray this with me? Lord, let's try it. Lord, I'm willing and I will obey. Because this is the word of the Lord. And then if you do this, the second part of verse 19 says, you shall eat the good of the land. Let's say with me, thank you, Lord. That's a promise. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. This is the Lord's promise. I take it. I receive it. I will eat the good of the land. And then verse 20, of course, says, then if you refuse, but I'm like, all right, I'm not even going to get there because, Lord, I am willing. And I will obey. Are you with me? Oh, let's stand. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we say we are willing and we are and we will obey, Father. We are willing and we will obey. Lord, as we prayed before, we're going to say it again. I pray that you would work a miracle in our hearts. So our hearts would be so in tune in obedience because we know you have good plans for us. You have good plans for us. Lord, forgive us of our stubbornness. Forgive us of our rebellious attitude. Forgive us for the times that even the way people, you know, just life has caused our hearts to be hard and we stop believing in people. Today we repent and we say we are willing and we will obey. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. That's what the Lord says. God, I pray that these words, that would they would fall in good, fertile ground. Because our hearts is the ground. Your word is the seed. So Holy Spirit, as we go home today, I pray that your favor would rest upon us. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would continue to guide us. Thank you for your kingdom coming in our lives. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for peace. Thank you for joy. We love you, Lord. We love you, Father. You are so good to us. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Well,